the words that I hope we may be helped to speak from this evening find in the 119th Psalm, verse 175. The 175th verse of the 119th Psalm. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. If you have, and I have, the unspeakable mercy for this to be so, in our case, we find a welcome, we find an echo in our hearts to such a word as this. Especially the first word in the verse. Let. What a sweet word that is. And now I can tell you why I read the verses in this psalm that I did read, because in going through the psalm and analyzing it and wondering really, as it is such a lengthy psalm, what particular verses to read, I felt led, and I hope it was the leading of the Spirit, to read particularly those verses in this psalm that begin with this little word, let. And you see, this word let is twofold. And it is a most uniting word, because it is a word that unites the sinner to God. Because it unites God to the sinner. What did God say in the beginning? Let there be light. And there was light. And if you've known what it is, my friend, to be the subject of Almighty grace, what God said in nature, and that which is still preserved to us every day of our lives, has been said to us in grace. As the apostle very beautifully says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now can you go back in your experience this evening, my friends, to such a time as this? When you believe the light shone in your heart. And it was because God himself said, let. And you, in answer to that let, in falling under that let, were brought to say this, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. What a choice word then this little word let is. And may we realize something of it as we go through this particular verse and into those verses that we have already read from this psalm. It would take us a long, long time to go right through the psalm. It will take quite a time to go into those verses, but I feel it is very blessed to realize that there's no commentary on the Word of God like the Word of God itself. We would thank God there are such things as commentaries, and we've always been thankful to the Lord for Cruden's Concordance, because sometimes it is a great help to us. And I once heard a minister, one of our eminent ministers, say he looked upon Cruden's concordance as a lazy man's Bible. But being a busy man myself, I felt I, in a sense, I didn't fall out with the dear man, because I know what he meant. But my friend, it can be a busy man's Bible too. Because some of us have had to labour with our hands and sometimes hurry off to the service perhaps and have been glad when a word has come to us and we haven't known just where it is. In fact, sometimes tempted by the devil to say, as he said to us, it isn't in the Word of God at all. And you'll be glad to turn into Cruden's Concordance and found it to be, well, it's like everything else, isn't it, friends? The abuse of things is wrong and the use of things is right. And if we use these things as not abusing them, the Word of God itself is very blessed. And I always admire what John Knox said, the Word of God is plain in itself, but if in any one place there is obscurity, the Holy Ghost, who does nothing contrary to himself, explains himself more clearly in other places. And so now we look at these words that we have read by way of text. I believe we were given them this morning. It was my earnest, fervent prayer and desire that if the Lord should spare me and preserve me to come here this evening, this should be the word for our meditation. Let my soul live. Can you echo it? Does it find a place in your heart, my friend? Let my soul live. Just as truly as I have natural life, so I want spiritual life. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself has very blessedly pronounced blessings upon living souls. You'll see the evidence of life in those Beatitudes, as we call them, as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in the 5th chapter, the Gospel according to Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if you are spiritually alive, you're bound to be poor in spirit. But the blessing rests upon the poor. And the Lord Jesus himself said, and what a mercy it is, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Let my soul live. Well, in that 41st verse that we begun to read, we have it there. And how is this life communicated? Just in the way that it's set before us in that 41st verse. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. And how beautiful are those remarks that the psalmist makes concerning the Word of God. Whether he mentions them as testimonies, or whether commandments or statutes, or whatever word he uses, thy righteous judgments and so on. And how beautiful is that word in the 9th verse, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then he gives the answer, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. We shouldn't hear the dreadful things we do today, friends, if there were more such men about, such young men about, that took heed according to God's word. That's the trouble with us in the nation. That's the trouble with us in the church. That's the trouble with us in our family life. And in all those things that have gone wrong, because we've gone away from God and his word. And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? But what a mercy it is, friends, that we find a few, that still desire to take heed thereto according to God's word. And if you can say this evening, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What a precious gift. What a precious treasure. What a blessing. Thy word. And then you can say sometimes, can you not? Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, thy word. I once heard of a little boy, they burned his Bible, but you know, he had enough of God's word in his heart. He said, you can't burn what's in my heart. I may burn all the books, my friend, but if the word of God's in your heart, they can't burn that. And why can't they burn it? Because God has burnt it in. And what God burns in will never be burnt out. Well, let thy mercies then come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according unto thy word. And then we go on to the next portion that we read, and we see there this little word, let. And how beautiful it is. What a commentary on the words of our text. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. And in this verse, I feel, friends, we have just that which we stand so much in need of. And that is two things we need in connection with God's word. We need revelation, and we need application. But you know, in natural things, if there's something to be received, it is only right that we should apply for it. And I do believe the way in which the Lord intends his people to receive the blessing is to ask, as he himself so plainly has said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, what an asking. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. And who are the people that stand in need of comfort? The comfortless, to be sure. And if you've ever known what it is, and if the Lord has dealt with you, my friend, you've known what it is to be comfortless. Often be comfortless. You may have spent days, maybe months, maybe years in a comfortless state, and you felt and feared you'd never come out of that comfortless state. But the Lord is faithful to his word. Oh yes. What does he say to his comfortless people? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I went to visit the children of our late friend, Mr. Arthur Hatton, when he died. And I felt specially led to speak to those sorrowing children, because they were in my Sunday school when they were younger, and I have a special regard toward them, and I pray for them. I want to pray till I see the mark of grace in their hearts. But I said, you know, I've got a message for you. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will not leave you orphans. They are orphans, naturally. Lost both mother and father too. But you see, my friend, it's like the psalmist said. And how many times some of us have been glad of that word of the psalmist, haven't we? When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Ah, if the Lord takes you up, friend, you'll be taken up forever. And you'll be taken up presently from earth to heaven. You will indeed. Yes. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, what a wonderful Savior he is, speaking words of comfort to those that are comfortless. let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. You see, in another place he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to howl. Have there not been those times in our experience when other powerful temptations of the adversary, he has come in like a flood, and we feared lest we should be overwhelmed? So we should have done, but you see, the Lord appears. He fulfills that blessed word, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, so that we are able to say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, oftentimes we've had to say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I heard a very sweet instance of that at one time. It was bitter at first, but it was sweet afterwards. And what a wonderful thing that is. The bitter often comes before the sweet and makes the sweeter. I'd been preaching at Tunbridge that Lord's Day, and as I got into the bus, it was just as though Satan came in that bus with me. With a vile temptation, you won't get home safe tonight. And you know what those temptations are if you're the subject of them. No use for me speaking about it if you're not, but if you are, you know. Yes. Oh yes, we're not ignorant of his devices. But we're thankful that the Apostle Paul not only said we're not ignorant of his devices, but he also said this, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And now oftentimes when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And I was reminded, I believe, by the Spirit of God, by a word that the Lord gave to me when quite a young man, not realizing, of course, at that time, how much I should travel in his service. And it was this: the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I said, Lord, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I arrived home safely, and I have done this many times since. But you know, Satan is a powerful foe, and he knows how to attack us sometimes in our weak spots. And as he comes in, so we need the Lord to deal with him, because we're no match for him, are we? No match for the devil and others. No, but what a mercy the Lord Jesus Christ is. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of their infirmity, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what prayer shall we bring? Could we bring a better one than their text this evening? Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Ah, what a wonderful thing, my friends, is this life of the soul, because it's the life of faith. The just shall live by faith, and they shall live to prove that death has lost its sting. Well, we have one or two other verses to look at that we have read this evening with this little word, let, in. And we want to just consider them. They're all in connection with the words of their text. In that other section we read, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word and thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. What is our attitude, my friends, concerning God's law? Is it our delight? Can you say wholeheartedly this evening, as you come before God in this sanctuary, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will." I believe that's the language of those that are the right side of the words of their text and the context. "That thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." And then a prayer against our enemies or against ourselves. "Let the proud be ashamed." By nature, we're all proud. If you are not proud, my friends, I am. I don't want to walk in pride. I do want the Lord to give me humility. But how often we find pride working, and we have to admit what the poet said concerning it: "Against it speak, it prompts the speech. Against it preach, it prompts the speech. Be silent, still it is there." I should never forget once hearing dear Mr. Stanley Dells at Dorkin, and he gave a wonderful description of pride. And you know, he's a very gifted man, and he can just lay it out there, you know, just as it really is. And it was a description of pride too. But you know, I could see humility in that dear man. And why? Where did I see it? He said, when he said all he had about pride, he said, "Who knows how much pride there's been in all that I've said." You see, friends, we need to be on our guard, lest we be carried away even with the gifts. The heart uplifts with God's own gifts and makes even grace a snare, one said. And if we know something of that, how it will put us on our guard. He'll make us say, "Lord, let not these things, let not iniquity abound." No, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with thee without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. And then let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And it's a great blessing, you know, to find someone that's sound in these days. Someone that's really sound. And how can we be sound? As we're found in the right place concerning God's statutes, that I be not ashamed. And then further, we have this little word "let," and we thank God for it as it is set before us in that latter part of the psalm that we have been led to by way of text to meditate upon. And the first verse of that section surely suits us well. "Let my cry." Now there, my friends, you've got the beginning of life. "Let my soul live." And how did we begin our natural lives? By crying. You know, it is an observation worth making that if a babe doesn't cry, the nurse will soon make it cry, because a cry is a sign of life. Oh, yes. It is a great blessing to hear, even naturally, those of us that are parents have been glad to hear their children cry. If a little child falls down and hurts his or herself anywhere, you listen for the cry, and you say directly, "Well, now, it's all right. There's a cry." And when they're hungry and thirsty and uncomfortable, there's a cry. And as in nature, so in grace. Do you cry sometimes because you feel spiritually hungry? Well, there's a blessing upon that character. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they should be filled. And what should they be filled with? Righteousness. And not their own righteousness, because they are brought to denounce that. They are brought to know that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We cannot stand in our own fig leaf righteousness, can we, friends? No. We want that imputed, imparted righteousness of Christ to be upon us, and a sinner clothed in that rich vest and garments dyed in blood is rendered fit with Christ to sit and be the guest of God. So let my cry come near before thee, give me understanding according to thy word. You see, this is a wonderful word because it describes the first evidences of grace. There's the cry, and then there's the understanding. And what a beautiful word the psalmist has concerning this in the last verse of the 107th psalm, where throughout that psalm he gives us a wonderful description of the life of God in the soul. And then at the conclusion he says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And what a mercy it is to get a little understanding. And in answer to your prayer, my friend, the Lord will grant it. Let my cry come near before thee, give me understanding according to thy word. And then let my supplication come before thee. Now this is not vain repetition. We not only cry, not only pray, but we are brought to supplicate. That is, so to speak, a step further, is it not? Have you known what it is, my friend, to be the recipient of that beautiful word? I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh, it's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful experience. And the Lord grant us more of it. More of that supplication. We need it for ourselves. We need it for our families. We need it for our churches. We need it for the nation. Supplication. Thy spirit of supplication give, and we shall pray indeed. Let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. And that is surely what we stand in need of from time to time. Deliverance. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And if the Lord grants you and I this spiritual life, how we shall praise him. And we have an instance of it, well, a good many instances of it, but one that just come to my mind. The Lord's servant, Hezekiah, he walked this way, didn't he? The Lord sent his servant Isaiah to him with a message of death, and it was just this: set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. What could Hezekiah do? Nothing better than he did. What was that? Turned his face to the wall. What was his kingdom to him? What was his people to him? What was his palace to him? What was anything he possessed to him? He's faced with death. He's under the sentence of death. And he wept sore. And did he weep in vain? No. We have every reason to believe that Hezekiah, and I feel that the peak of his experience, the peak of his trial, the peak of his affliction was when he was brought to that point, and some of us have known something about it. We've known something of it since we realized, I can tell you. It would take a long time to tell you some of it, but anyway, the Lord knows all about it. And I said, our friend in the vestry, I wouldn't have anything altered. I wouldn't be without the trial for anything? Because trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to his feet. Lay us low and keep us there. And did I meet no trials here? No chastisement by the way? Might I not with reason fear I should be a castaway? My friend, bless God if you've been tried. Because he says I will bring the third part through the fire. Not round it. Through the fire. Daniel couldn't go round the den of lions, could he? Those three men couldn't go round the furnace, could they? They had to go into it and through it. And that's where their bands were burnt off. That's where Daniel lost his burden. That's where Daniel was brought to say, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me. Inasmuch as innocency was found in me, and in thy sight, O king, have I done no hurt. Well, now listen to the language of Hezekiah. Has he been brought through the fire? And the same servant of God that was sent to him with the message of death was sent back with the message of life. Go and tell Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will deliver thee and this city. Oh, what a blessedness there is in affliction when the Lord sanctifies it and brings good out of it and brings us to bless and praise him because of it. And Hezekiah could say, and he could join in with this, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father unto the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Haven't you proved it to be so, friend? When most we've needed his helping hand, this friend is always near, as heaven and earth at his command awaits to answer prayer. And surely he will answer the prayer that he himself indites, because prayer indicted by the Lord, the Lord will surely hear. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to enter a little into those sweet words of the psalmist in the 84th psalm concerning these living souls. They will be still praising thee, Selah. And what a great blessing we can come together in God's house sometimes to sing his praise, not just merely to sing for the sake of singing, but to know a little of what the apostle meant when he said, I will sing in the spirit and with the understanding also. I will pray in the spirit and in the understanding also. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. The two things are joined together, my friends, and it is the living soul that will praise his or her God. Oh yes. And join with the psalmist in the 34th psalm. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And this is the great desire of the heart of those that join with the psalmist in our text, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. But what else does he say? And let thy judgments help me. Those very things which Satan would be ready to suggest to you will be a hindrance to you. Thy judgments. Let thy judgments help me. And you know, in another psalm, the psalmist does very blessedly come to his God, and he asks for this. He says, judge me, O Lord, judge me. He does want to realize that God is his judge, and because he judges righteous judgment. Oh yes. And as you and I are brought into the and of our God, how we know his judgments are right. And we are brought to fall down at his feet and to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Let thy judgments help me. Thy judgments. This is very beautifully set before us also in this 119th psalm. Now often the psalmist refers to thy judgments, and he refers to his judgments as righteous judgments. And I believe if ever there was a man that knew that God's judgments were right, it was his servant Abraham, when he stood before him pleading on behalf of guilty Sodom and Gomorrah. And he felt himself to be a poor sinner, did he not? Behold, I have taken upon thee to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. But what does Abraham say? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What a great blessing it is, my friends, to be brought to God and feel that he is a righteous judge. How beautifully one versed and set the feeling of their heart before God in that hymn we sometimes sing. When thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? 'Twas such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand. Yes, you come to him, my friend, who is indeed the righteous judge. And how beautifully does the Lord Jesus Christ himself speak of his Father when he says in that wonderful part of the Word of God, which we need to take note of, in these ill and evil days in which our lot is cast. He says this: men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he said, did he not, there was in a certain place a judge and a widow. And the widow came to the judge and she said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. Now, and presently this unrighteous judge says, I will arise and avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now the Lord Jesus says to us, it's a strong argument, and it's something we would desire to take notice of. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? I tell you, he will arise and avenge them speedily. Let thy judgments help me. Oh, yes. How this was worked out in the case of many of the Lord's people, whose experience is left on record for our comfort and consolation. Oh yes, we see those characters left on record for our encouragement. Those who were brought to know something of the righteous judgments of God, and those judgments have indeed helped. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I should have learned thy righteous judgments. And we do not learn these truths as schoolboys do their task. Such knowledge is not proof against delusion's blast. An empty knowledge floats with air and dies when dreadful storms appear. Let thy judgments help me. How then we would come to God this evening, and whatever judgments there may be in the land or in the earth, or in the church, or maybe in our own circumstances, let thy judgments help me. May there be a means that thou should use, Lord. May they be sanctified to me, to loosen my hold on time things and bring me to that spot and place to say, let thee, thou sovereign Lord of all, at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. And not only know that he's God, but know that he's ours. And know that he's ours. And how are we brought to know that he's our God? Because he is the one that delivers us, the only one that can deliver us. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, and we trust, says the apostle, he will yet deliver us. And so, whatever trial you may be in now, whatever trouble you may yet come into, let thy judgments help me, says the psalmist in another verse. I have hoped in thy judgments. I have hoped in thy judgments. That's a wonderful thing, because you see, God's judgments are from love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Yes. And his chastening, therefore, prize the privilege of a saint. Their hearts are hard, who that despise, theirs to weep that faint. We know sometimes under his chastening hand, we would have given anything to know it was his chastening hand. Because Satan was a mere at hand to say, ah, it isn't springing from his love this time. But we've lived to prove Satan's a liar, haven't we? Many, many times. But how slow we are to learn, and how often we need the Lord to come again and to put us again under his chastening hand. And cause us to know that he is indeed our Father. Thou, says the prophet, art our Father. We are the clay, thou our potter. We all are the work of thy hand. And I feel the psalmist knew, the hymn writer knew something of this, thy judgment's helping, when he penned those beautiful lines. Sweet. In the confidence of faith, to trust his firm decrees, sweet to lie passive in his hand, and know no will but his. The Lord can bring you there, my friend, and he can keep you there. Blessings on his name, yes. Alas. And when he brings us there, oh, how sweet it is to live. And it would be sweet to die. And the poet very beautifully ends that hymn, doesn't he? If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? I remember years ago now it was, visiting one of my afflicted young people too. She was a young woman. And I went along quite unexpected one morning, and I knew she was in much affliction, and often very much distressed, very much tried. But I had a surprise that morning. I said, how are you this morning? This is how she answered me. If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from me. You know, that was music to me. I thought, she's got the other side for a little while. And the deeper their sorrows, the louder their sing. Do you know something of it, friends? I believe you do. Yes. And here's a word to suit you this evening, and go on your way with it. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. You, under the temptations of the adversary and the weakness of your poor mind, feared that those things would hinder you. But they won't. They won't. They can't. Because what God does for his people helps them. He is their helper and their guide. When I came to grief last September, 2 days after I became 70 years of age, and you know, it was a cloud and a mistake. But you know, in the night, I said to the Lord, "Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me." I could look back over the past. I knew he had helped me before, and he could help me again. I went to Leicester to preach from that text, full of trouble as ever I could be. And I was like it for about 3 months. I was just about in Job's ditch. But you see, my friends, by these things men live. By the very things that the Lord brings upon us. The very thing that we're afraid is going to bring us to our end. We will make a fresh start. We make a fresh start in that way. And this is it's the answer to this prayer. Let my soul live. And this is the prayer of a living soul. A living person wants to live, even naturally so. The dead know not anything. But living souls, they cry out for life. Yes, was it not so in the case of Christian, as Bunyan sets it so beautifully before us, when he was made alive to his condition and his position, he flees from the city of destruction, he puts his fingers in his ears, and he cries, "Life, life, eternal life, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee." And not only will this praise be while we're still in these lowlands of earth, it's hardly begun yet, friends, because we often have to say, do we not, "Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought." Do you sometimes look forward to that time when you will really be able to praise him as you want to? Ah, we realize our weakness now, but presently, my friends, we shall see his face and never sin, but from the rivers of his grace and glory bring endless pleasure in. And this word will be fulfilled, this prayer will be answered to the full. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. The Lord grant it so, for his name's sake.